scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and power. And when then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Drop down to chapter 5, verse 1. Then the prophets of Haggai the prophet, Zechariah and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Now what took place here is they came back. They had a remnant of Jews that had returned, probably right around 50 or 52,000 Jews that had returned. They began to set everything back up again. I think Zerubbabel had brought them back. They had begun rebuilding Jerusalem. They had started the house of God. And we read in the previous chapters of Ezra here where we were at, we read where the old man, they watched as those foundations were put down and they wept. And they could see because they could remember the day when the worship went from the house of God and when the house of God stood before it. And boy, it just done something in their hearts. But didn't take very long for the opposition to rise up and come in and actually shut them down. So they got the foundations built. But then Artaxerxes was tricked, I like to say. He was talked into it by these Rehum and Shimshai. And we find out that he shut everything down. Then in verse number 1 of chapter 5, we read where the prophets Haggai and Zechariah were sent to preach to them. If you study it out, if I've studied this right, there was about 15 to 20 years between the last verse of chapter 4 and the first verse of chapter 5. So there was about, let's just say being conservative, let's say 15 years. There's about 15 years where the foundations just sat there and did nothing.
Yep.
But then we find out, we pick back up on the event that took place in the book of Haggai and flip over there with me now and begin reading in verse number 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah. And Joshua, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, this is what God had to say. Verse number 2. Then speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, this, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Now, I want to read you a verse of scripture. You don't have to turn there. In the book of Luke, I believe it's chapter 12, verse 23, verse 33. Jesus made this statement in Luke 12, 33. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth.
Amen.
They came and they were shut down from building the house of God and working on the house of God. And God said, we're not done yet. So he sent Haggai to preach to them. And he actually preached three messages to the people. And he preached one message to Zerubbabel all by himself. Amen. And so we see that Haggai preached four messages. And this is the first message. A bag with holes in it. Amen. And so they were so consumed with what they were doing that their sight, they'd gotten discouraged. And I'll be quite honest with you. I'll just shoot you straight. I don't believe that we have any justification in the Word of God to ever get discouraged. Amen. I know we do. You say, preacher, you don't. I do. I get discouraged. But God has never come to me and took me in the Word of God and said, it's okay, you're discouraged. No, you know what he says? He says, get up from there where you're at and get over here and get busy again. Get to doing what I've given you to do. There's no excuse for us to be discouraged, amen. We get discouraged because we're looking at other people. We get discouraged because of the work sometimes. Yes, it gets hard. It's laborious, if you will. It's a labor, amen. We labor together with God. A labor is work, amen. And so sometimes it just simply takes getting the brass knuckles and getting with it and just pick yourself up and say, dear God, I'm going to do it. Do like David and encourage ourselves. Sometimes, amen, you're not going to always find a cheerleading squad standing around saying, boy, sure, I'm glad you're here. Man, I'm glad you're here. No, we've got to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and we've got to look unto Him for our sustenance. We look unto Him to do the work, amen. It's God that's performing this thing, amen. And this morning, these people, the Israelites, they got over there and they got shut down. And they got comfortable. It makes me think maybe COVID went through the place. And he started Facebooking everything. Amen. And he started putting it out. And he said, now I understand. I'm not slamming. If you Facebook, fine. Go with it, man. Do what you got to do. Get in the parking lot. Whatever you got to do. Thank God for some people that will keep on going. Amen. But there's going to come a time when virtual churches don't pay real bills. Right. Right. Amen. Yep. People want to sit at home and watch church on Facebook. Yep. Right. Amen. Yep. I understand the fear factor. I got all that. I understand that. I get it. I understand it. But if we're not careful, we're going to get comfortable in there. Wow. There we are still not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's what the Bible said. That's what my pastor said. When we first got hit with this over a year ago, we finally come to a place he wasn't sure what to do like many other pastors. He said, God, what do we do? He had pastors calling him. He didn't know what to tell them. He said, only thing I'd tell you, brothers, just mind God. Just find God in this thing and see what God says to do. And he told me, he said, brother, he said, the Bible still says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And we've got to come together because, listen to me, I need my brethren. Amen. These people got to where they got comfortable. They started accepting the fact that they'd been shut down. Amen. Now understand, if you've got laws in place, please don't think I'm narrow-minded and I'm not trying to be narrow-minded. I'm just saying I know there's things in place. Sometimes there's obstacles that only God can remove. There's some things you just can't do anything about, but just go to God in prayer and just ask God to remove the obstacles. Amen. But we don't have to get comfortable not being able to do the will of God. Amen. I tell you, I want to encourage these missionaries this morning. You guys make a lot of sacrifices. And I love every one of you, and I pray for you every day because you pull your family's roots up and you just find the mind of God. And listen to me, I'm not going to say it's a sacrifice because it's not. You ain't sacrificed no more than anybody else. Amen. That's exactly right. Because you know why it's not a sacrifice? Because you're in the perfect will of God like the rest of us. And when you're in the perfect will of God, there's no sacrifice there. Amen. You're just doing what God gave you to do. And God said, if you'll come to me, I will do it through you. Amen. 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 These people got to a place and they got comfortable where they were at. And he said, well, the house of God is not that important. The work of God is really not that important. Surely we don't have. And God sent him a man of God. God sent him a man of God. He had a missions conference, if you will. Throwed a camp meeting together and said, it's time to hear from God. Amen. That's what this is all about. I'm going to be honest with you, preacher. I've been charged this week. I mean, brother, it has stirred something. And the Spirit of God down inside of me has been stirred with every message. I mean, the morning messages, the night messages. Oh, yeah, my rear end's got sore a few times, and that's okay. But I want you to know something. I'm not here for the flesh. I'm here for the spirit man. And I've been fed down in my soul. And And God has stirred me up about getting souls saved. Amen.
Amen.
Let me give you just a few things if I can. I got to hurry. I'm going to try to hurry. Some things that we see with these people. First of all, we see in verse number 2, look at this. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Notice God wasn't saying that. It was the people that were saying that. It was God saying the people are saying this. So we know it's right. But we also know this, what they were saying was wrong. Because God had given specific instructions to King Cyrus to have the house of God built. And God wanted his work to go on. He wanted the house to be built. He wanted to get glory. You know what God was doing? I know you know this. God was reestablishing his presence in this world. Amen. He had taken them over here for a whole generation, an entire generation of 70 years. Amen. And because they had fell by the wayside, wasn't doing what God gave them to do. And God said, I'm going to put you over here for a while. I'm going to judge you for 70 years. But at the end of that 70 years, God said, it's all over with. It's time to come back home. I'm putting you back in your land. Does it sound familiar? Amen. That's exactly what God's going to do with Israel one of these days. He's going to take them all back to their land. They're going to look at Jesus and they're going to be saved in a day. Amen. That's exactly right. Listen to me. But these people did just like us. They followed their human nature. And I want to say, when I study this out, I find that you and I, as part of the church, I know we're not Israel, but we're still God's people. And we still got the same human nature they dealt with. And I see a lot of the things that they did in their human nature. I look around and I see the church doing the exact same thing. And not only that, I look around in my own life and I catch myself doing the exact same thing. Amen. The first thing we notice right here is their procrastination. They said, not right now. Not right now. Right now's not the time. We can put that off till tomorrow. I remember as a 13-year-old boy in September of 1983, God got a hold of my heart and the Spirit of God passed my way one night at Skyline Independent Baptist Church in Fancy Gap, Virginia at about 9:15 that night. God passed by my way and he said, boy, you need to get saved. I said, I can do it later. I can do it later. I was like Felix. I said, come back at a more convenient time. But I thank God he didn't leave me alone. Oh, he kept dealing with my heart, kept pressuring on me, kept the conviction down on me until finally I gave in. My heart broke. I came to God. I received Jesus as my Savior and I trusted him by faith through grace. Amen.
Amen.
By grace through faith. Listen to me. These men, these people were procrastinating. I got one question for you. If not now, when?
Right. Right. Amen.
If not now, when? Now I realize we got to wait on the will of God.
Sure.
The timing of God is everything.
Sure. Right.
Amen. The timing, and I'll just tell you this, My good friend, Brother Doug Thompson, he's been dealing with some things, and I'm not going into all of that, but he's been dealing with some things this week, and I've been there with him and just trying to encourage him where I could and be a blessing to him. And this morning he told me about a phone call that he made about a situation that he's been dealing with this week. And a man that he talked to, he called him for some help with something. And Brother Doug had something on his heart that he needed this man to do. And this is what that man said to him. And all this that Brother Doug's been dealing with all this week, it all came down to this one phone call. And he told me this morning, he said, brother, he said, that man, this is what he had to say to me. He said, when I called him up, he said, brother, he said, this phone call's not for you, it's for me. This is a man that had needed help from God. This is a man that had messed some things up, and I'm not going into all of that. But he needed some help from God, and the man of God called him, not really even knowing what all was going to, how the conversation was going to go. But all this that God was putting together was all so that man could get some help. Amen. Listen, this plan is so big. We don't understand everything that God's doing. Our part is just to be obedient to God, be faithful to the things of God, and stay in the Word of God, and do what God gives us to do day by day. Amen. I don't know what the full will of God for my life is. I can't tell you what I'm going to be doing 10 years from now. And you can't either. And by the way, I can't tell you what God's going to be doing with you 10 years from now. Amen. Can't no man tell you what the will of God is for your life. Amen. There's some things we can go into in the Word of God. We can say it's God's will to tithe. We can say it's God's will to be saved. I mean, there's some things the Bible points out real plain, but some of your specific things, like the brother preached on the other day, there's some specific things that you just got to get worked out for with God, and God unfolds it one leaf at a time. One, and you know what? Every time He unfolds a leaf, that's another walk of faith. That's another step of faith. God says, you take this step, and I'll do the rest. And you take that step, He does the rest. He gives you another leaf. He says, now, take another step. You take it. And that's the way God does it. Just one right after another. One step at a time.
Amen.
These people just kept putting it off, and putting it off, and putting it off, and putting it off. Amen. I heard tell of a missionary years ago. Don't know how long ago. It's been a long time ago. God had been dealing with his heart about preaching, about going to the mission field. And he was running from God. And he said, no, not me, not me. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that. And he ran from God. And one day he backed out of his driveway. And when he did, he didn't realize it, but his little, I think it was his little boy, his little girl, his little child, had dropped something in behind that car and went to pick it up. And he didn't see him in the mirror. And he backed over his little child. God didn't have to send a preacher along and tell that man, here's why I did that. He said immediately he knew why that had took place. You see, God's got a way of getting us where He wants us to be. Amen. God will do things like that. God will allow things to come in our life to get us to quit procrastinating.
Amen.
And putting off what God wants us to do. Amen. The second thing we notice here is in verse number 4. Look at this. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? There was a preoccupation. Not only the procrastination, but there was a preoccupation. They were preoccupied. They were preoccupied with the things that was going on in their own house. Amen.
Right.
They didn't have time to do the things of God. They didn't have time to do what God wanted them to do. They had too many things of their own that they wanted to do.
Right.
They were just like us. He's talking about their own personal houses right here. He said, we shut down, the house of God has been shut down over here, and rather than you going and working and trying to do the work of God and do the will of God, you've just turned your back on that, and you're over here and you're all preoccupied with all of your sealed houses. That means ceilings, by the way. In other words, they were decked to the hilt. They did everything that they could do to their own houses and totally ignored the house of God. Ought not to be so.
Amen.
I've used this illustration many times. This is a church. Okay? Here's the way most people, most Christians live. Here I am. Here's the church. There's the church. If there's anything to do there, we'll put something in it. We'll do this if it's convenient. We'll do this. Amen? But there's the church revolving around us. You know I'm telling it right?
Yes, sir.
But here's the way God intended it to be.
Amen.
Right. That's right.
What's the church need? What does the work of God need? My life is consumed with the work of God. Oh, there was a time in my life when I didn't want to hang out on Sunday afternoon at the church. I wanted to go run somewhere and rest and lay down. You know what I do now? Hallelujah. I just pull me up a pew somewhere and say, Lord Jesus, here I am. You wake me up when I'm ready. Amen. All I'm saying this morning is that they got preoccupied. And again, I'm not against Facebook, but I'll say this. If you spend more time on Facebook than you do in that book, you need to get your face out of the end of this book and off of Facebook. Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. You know I'm telling you right, you just well say amen, because when we get to heaven, you're going to amen. Amen, that's exactly right. You know I'm telling it right. We get preoccupied with everything. I'll be there in a minute. Amen. And I know these things that are important. There's phone calls we got to take. There's things we got to do. I mean, there's things that we got, but it's a balance. It's a balance, amen. But God gets the preeminence. One guy said one time, he said, I want to follow God so close when I get to the stop sign, I don't say, Holy Spirit, which direction I need to go. I ain't so sure that ain't a bad idea. You ever been steered a different way and find out later on there was a wreck or something happened down the road where you was getting ready to go and God just kind of diverted your path? You didn't even know it. I didn't even know it. So there was a preoccupation. There was a procrastination. Look at verse number 6. You've sown much. Oh, wow. In other words, you put an awful lot of seed out and bring in little. You eat. Now I realize it's not our job to save anybody. Sure. I can't make the seed grow. No. All I can do is put it out. Right. Who makes the seed to grow? God gives the increase. Right. Is that right? Right. Yeah. How are we going to get God to give the increase? We got to get God to give the increase. We got to get under a burden. We got to knock down the doors to heaven and say, dear God, so-and-so needs to be saved. And Lord, if you don't do that, I'm going to die.
Right. Amen.
That's where Moses got.
Yes, sir.
Moses was willing to give up his salvation and go to hell.
Yes, sir.
For Israel.
Yes, sir.
I'm not there. I must be honest with you. I'm not there yet. That's exactly right, preacher.
Yep.
Apostle Paul was the exact same way.
Amen.
But we're preoccupied.
Right.
But look at this. Now we see the perishing provisions. You've sown much. Verse 6 says, you've sown much, you bring in little, you eat, but you have not enough. I mean, you just can't get enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. So everything you do, I wish I had a bag up here. Can you see me holding a bag? And I got it filled full of all kinds of trinkets and all kinds of valuables. And I'm walking down the road and I'm thinking, man, I have got a treasure today. I've got everything I need. I got it going on. I mean, everything's working out. And all the while, I'm a dropping everything I put into it. Every bit of it's just throwing right out behind me. I get to my destination and there's nothing in my bag. When we stand before Jesus, I want to have a bag load of stuff to lay at his feet and say, dear God, I love you. This is what I've given my life for. Amen.
Absolutely.
He said, you like people that have got bags with holes in it. He said, everything you do, you know, you can give all you want to give, but if it's not given with the right motive at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to see that thing go, it's just going to burn up. I'm going to tell you, folks, I've had to learn this, and I know we're all learning here. I've had to learn that my motives are everything. My motives are everything to God. You know why? Because God looketh on the heart. Huh?
Amen.
Man looketh on the outward appearance. God sees the heart. He sees why we're here this morning. He sees why we've done what we've done thus far today. Amen. God knows why we do what we do. Amen. And our motivation ought to be to glorify Him, to lift up praises and glory to Him, and just to love Him. Amen. I don't know about you. Well, I think I do. I believe you're like me. He's enough. He's enough motivation for me. He is enough motivation to get me to do the work and the will of God for my life. Amen.
Amen.
Let me give you this and I'm going to be done. You see, the procrastination, the preoccupation, and the perishing provisions. But look at this. Let's look real quickly at Haggai's exhortation. Or I should say the Lord's exhortation. Look what he said here in verse 7. He said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. It's already been quoted, I believe, in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves. Lest you be a reprobate. We need to know, you can know that you're in the will of God. I talked to a pastor one time. He said, well, I don't believe you can know the perfect will of God. Well, the very next night I preached on Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Right. If we just offer ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, and if we would separate ourselves from the world and get the mind of God, we can know what is that perfect, that good and perfect will of God. Amen. We can know the will of God for our lives. Amen. It's not a mystery. It's not something God is just hoarding to himself, but he will not show you everything. But if we'll walk with God, amen, we can consider our ways and we can look unto God. Amen. And God will do what he wants to do.
Amen.
Amen. Look what else he said. Verse number 8. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house and I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified, saith the Lord.
Amen.
This is deep. Y'all get this. Write this down. You build the house. You get to work. There comes a time when you got to go, all right, I'm done praying about this.
Right.
It's time to go.
Right.
A little over 3 years ago, God began to deal with my, well, he actually 6 months before that, but probably 3.5 years ago, almost 4 years ago, he started really dealing with me about going full time in the ministry.
Amen.
For all these years, I'd worked a job and held a job, and I was assistant pastor for about 13.5 years. And during all that time, I pastored in Georgia back in the 90s. Even during all this time, I've worked, except for just a little bit. But anyhow, the fact is, I got to this place in my life where God said, all right, I want you to go full time. Now, I had a desire to do that anyway, but I was scared to. I was afraid to take that step. Amen? But God put it in my heart what he told Peter, said, launch out into the deep. That was a hook I couldn't get out. He said, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. And for 6 months, every man of God that stood behind a pulpit preached to me. Sure did. Paul preached to me. Every time I'd open my Bible, Paul was preaching to me. Peter was preaching to me. Jesus was preaching to me. Everybody, everywhere I looked, God was saying, I want you to myself. It's time you left all that secularism. It's time you left everything. And I'm not, listen to me, I'm not telling you pastors you ought to quit your job and go. That's individual. God does that for each individual. If he's dealing with your heart about that, then be obedient and do it and let go and let God. But I'm saying this morning, I got to a place in my life where I could not put it off anymore. Amen. And there came a day, I called my pastor. He wasn't my pastor then. He was a good friend, Brother Melton. And I done typed up everything on my computer. I managed an apartment complex and did the maintenance on the side. And it would fill up an 8-hour day. It's a wonderful job. And I'd put in my resignation. And I typed it up on an email and told my boss. All I had to do was walk over and hit enter. I called my preacher. Friend. He's my preacher now. I said, preacher, I said, I'm fixing to do it. What I was wanting him to do was say, well, go on, brother, hit the enter button. That's what I wanted him to say. He wouldn't do it. That's why I love that man of God. He's my man of God. Boy, don't you ever say anything about John Milton around me. You might have some lead coming your way. I might just get in the flesh a little bit, amen. I love my man of God. This is what he said to me. He said, brother, he said, you just mind God. Just mind God. I already knew what God had told me to do. God done confirmed it with scripture. God done did everything he needed to do. Confirmed it in my heart. I said, all right, preacher. I hit it. I said, it's a done deal. You see, I had to step out. Comes a time when you put some feet on those prayers. Amen. Let me give you this and I'm done. I want to say this. Look at verse number 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. There was an obedience. Look at verse 14. I just want to give you this and I'm done. I'm going to walk away from here. Verse number 14. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant. Amen. Of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts. God just wants our obedience. A lot of the suffering and stuff that we go through, you know what God's doing? He's just trying to get us up on that cross. The cross is a place to die. That's a dying place. And all God wants to do is get us up on that cross so we'll die to self and submit to Him.
Amen.
Amen. There may be somebody sitting here this morning and God's dealing with you about going to a mission field.
Yep.
I'm going to be quite honest with you, preacher. When I was first called to preach, the one thing that scared me the most was to go to God and ask Him what He wanted me to do. Because I was scared to death He might put me on a mission field. How foolish was I? How foolish. And then I finally got to a place I said, Lord, if you'll just show me what to do, I'll do it. I'll do it, Lord. But there were still some reservations in my heart. But God kept working on me, kept dealing with me. And finally, He just sort of steered me around and got me where I needed to be. And now I've said, Lord, lock, stock, and barrel, it's all yours.
Right.
Whatever you want, Lord, I'll do whatever you give me to do.
Amen.
All I ask, Lord, is you help me to do what you want. Not
Amen.
What I want, not what somebody else thinks I ought to be doing, but what you want me to do. You may be sitting here and God may be dealing with you. How many people have surrendered to go to the mission field at a missions conference?
Yep.
Amen. Been plenty of people done that.
That's right.
Hey, maybe somebody sitting here, God's dealing with you about preaching.
Yep.
Preaching the Word of God. I ran from it. I know some men say they didn't, and that's okay. I'm not disputing that, but I did.
Yes,
I didn't want to preach. I don't want to be up here and telling everybody all of a sudden, everybody looking at my life and seeing if I was living what I was preaching. And I didn't want none of that. But I finally come to the place where I wanted what God wanted for me more than what I wanted.
Amen.
Not my will, but thy will
Amen.
Be done.
Amen.
Here's what I've learned. Being in the perfect will of God, being in the perfect will of God is the most peaceful place that you can be on this earth,
Amen.
No matter where you're at.
Amen.
Amen. That's that peace that passeth all understanding.
Amen.
We look at missionaries. The average church member looks at missionaries going to Africa or Zimbabwe or some country somewhere where there's nothing to eat and everything's terrible and nobody would ever even dream about doing a vacation there or even visiting for that matter, but some missionary will get a burden. God will put that down inside of him. And he just ain't happy till he gets there. He's not happy until he's at work in the perfect will of God.
Amen.
Doing exactly what God gave him
Amen.
To do. I'm doing exactly what God gave me to do.
Amen.
God's given us a burden to help churches, to help pastors, to see sinners saved. COVID or no COVID, we want to get the gospel out no matter what. Amen. And I say, let's get to work. Let's keep on the firing line. Let's keep working. Amen. Amen. Amen.